and welcome to the MBOM podcast, where you'll learn to master the business of yoga. MBOM is a proud part of the Wander Barn podcast network, and I'm your host, Amanda Kingsmith. I'm a 500-hour registered yoga teacher, a yoga business coach, and a total business geek. Here at MBOM, you'll learn everything you need to know to create a sustainable yoga business by learning from myself and guests from around the world about how they built their yoga businesses. And about how you too can become a successful yoga teacher, studio owner, and much more. All right, let's dive in. Hello, everyone, and welcome back for another episode of the MBOM podcast. I'm really excited that you're joining me for today's episode of the show. This week on the podcast, I'm really excited to be rejoined by Gregory Ormson. If you have been listening to the podcast for a number of years, then you might remember Gregory back from December of 2017 when he first came on the show. Gregory is a yoga teacher, an author, and a passionate biker. His yoga writing is published in 23 national and international magazines, journals, and online sites with over 5 million dedicated readers. Some of his articles have logged nearly 400,000 views and been shared over 7,000 times. And he's known in his community as Motorcycling Yogi G, which I love. He has taught yoga for bikers since 2017 at Superstition Harley Davidson, which is the only dealership in the country to hold yoga classes in its facilities. And when he came on the podcast back in 2017, he was offering this really, really unique niche. It was pretty new at that point, and he came on to share his business and what he was doing. And he's back today to share how things have been going, what he's learned through his career, as well as a little bit about his new published book, Yoga Song. So we're catching up with Gregory. We're hearing about how things are going. He's sharing some really good pieces of wisdom and lessons and so much good stuff. So I hope that you really enjoy this episode. This episode of the podcast is sponsored by Offering Tree. Offering Tree is my one-stop shop for all things yoga business. They offer, you know, ways to schedule yoga classes, memberships, courses, and so much more. So you guys definitely need to check them out. And to do that, you can head on over to offeringtree.com/MBOM. They've also got some new cool stuff on the go for you studio owners out there. So I'll tell you a little bit more about that a little later on. But for now, let's get into the show. All right, without further ado, here is Gregory. Welcome to the podcast today, Gregory. I'm really excited to have you here with me today.
Hi, Amanda, and thank you. Good to hear you again.
Yeah, I'm excited for this conversation. So we chatted pretty much 5 years to the day at this point. We were talking December of 2017. So very, very close timing. And I was in Mexico City at that point. It was the first time I lived in Mexico. You were in Arizona. And I know for both of us, so much has changed over the last 5 years. So I'm really excited to dive into that. I'm curious, are you still in Arizona, or where are you joining us from today?
I'm joining you today from Arizona. Amanda, the same desk I joined you with, I think I joined with you when we chatted almost 5 years ago. In the meantime, I've been around doing some traveling and visiting many cool places and doing some yoga stuff and some music stuff. But as we talk, sitting here in Arizona, and it's a cool day today.
Oh, that's probably pretty nice. I'm imagining that doesn't happen that often in Arizona, depending on where you are.
It doesn't. And it's actually about 20 degrees below normal here, which is almost unbelievable. But here we are.
Amazing. Well, thanks for sharing that. And I'm excited to dive in with you. So when we talked in 2017, you had really just started your signature program, Yoga and Leather. You were just starting to offer, you know, yoga for motorcycle riders and bikers, specifically out of the Harley Davidson store. So I'm curious if you can catch us up just how this has been going over the last 5 years for you.
Sure. Well, we've kept it going, and we meet twice a month at the Superstition Harley Davidson, the dealership in Apache Junction, Arizona, where I teach. A variety of people come in. Some of them don't stay, but they seem to like it. They are very curious about it. On a quote-unquote success metric, you would look and go, oh man, 5-6 people, it doesn't look all that great. It doesn't look like that much is happening. But there is, even if it's not visible. The word gets around. Over the last 4 years, I've published a lot. And actually, the story of yoga for motorcyclists has been it was the cover story of Yoga Magazine in the UK. And it's been in Om Yoga Magazine of the UK, And I've had stories in American Writer magazine, which is the big twin magazine out of California, and a number of other periodicals, actually 23 of them, where I've written about yoga in general, but specifically, at least in parts, Amanda, referenced yoga for motorcyclists. And right there, people are interested. Now, getting the actual motorcyclists, who are not always known for being health conscious, into the yoga class, that's another story, but it's a story that's rich with a lot of metaphor and a lot of fun and a lot of curiosity and a lot of enthusiasm, even if it's enthusiasm that's like, well, that's cool, but it's cool for other people. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think all yoga teachers kind of run up against this a little bit. It's like, oh, what do you do? I teach yoga. And it's like, oh, cool. Like yoga sounds cool. And it's like, yeah, you should come join. It's like, oh, no, it's like cool for other people, not for me, or it's for other people, not for me. And exactly. I mean, I remember talking to you the first time and just thinking, this is one of the most unique niches I've ever heard of. And still to this day, it is. And I think you've really kind of gone outside the box in terms of, like, you know, yoga is for everybody and everybody. And I'm curious, so you're doing two classes a week. Like, what do these classes look like? Because I remember when we were talking the last time, you were saying, you know, people just show up as they are. Sometimes they're in their jeans, they're in their leathers. You know, is that still the case? What are you teaching? How has it evolved? I'd love to hear all of that.
Yeah, well, thanks. That's a good memory to remember all of that. But it is, and I make it deliberate, come as you are. Sometimes they come in right off the motorcycle ride. For example, there's a large ride on every Wednesday. It's called the Hog Ride, and Hog stands for Harley Owners Group, a group of people that pay into this yearly organization, and there's a periodical that comes out, and they ride twice a week, an organization that's really worldwide. Sometimes on Wednesdays after the ride, they come in right to the class with their boots on, their jeans on, throw off their leather jackets, and away we go. It's an outdoor studio where I teach, not really a studio. It's a huge deck, and it's called the Eagle's Nest. A beautiful perch from which we look at the Goldfield Mountains. So we're in East Phoenix, and as we stand on the deck and start to do some yoga with our breathing exercises, we look north to the Goldfield Mountains. It's a beautiful range with a lot of history and mythology about gold and the Spaniards being there and the Apache white man fights up in the mountains. I mean, it's an incredibly rich place story-wise. And it's a beautiful spot. The sun is setting then to our left, the west. And as the sun sets, and it's usually quite warm, probably like you are in Mexico, the breeze comes in from the west, southwest. So we practice for 50 minutes normally with a lot of breath and some movement. Most of it is easy. Some of it is, there's two or three poses only that I'll put much pressure on people and, or have them put pressure on themselves, I should say, because they're hard sometimes. And then as we slow down and melt into the moment with breath again, breath focus, the sun is setting at about 5:30 in the west. The breeze is blowing and the people are laying on their backs. The motorcycles are rumbling down below, and I mean, they're really rumbling. And people might think, man, how can you do Shavasana in a situation like that when you got motorcycles rumbling below and they're not just loud, they shake the foundations of the deck. They actually do. And motorcyclists have a penchant for revving the engine, too. It's called opening the throat, you know, rum, rum. But, so as they're down below revving these engines, sometimes I might be up above playing a couple of soft licks on the sitar. And so you've got this situation where they're consciously breathing. The sun, the wind, the motorcycles blow, the ping from the sitar. And all of this comes together to create, I think for them, an experience that's memorable, even if they don't want to come back and keep doing it over and over and over, because it's effort, it's work, it's scheduling, it's time, it's commitment, it's discipline. And yet, for the people that do, one of them described it like this. He said, "I felt like I had an out-of-body experience." Because the motorcycle, and you might, your listeners might think of this, the motorcycle can be a disrupting, loud, kind of aggravating sound. And when you're in the car, maybe the windows are open and the motorcycle rips by you at 67 miles an hour, it is kind of aggravating. But these people love the sound of the motor. It soothes them. They're connected to the sound. It's the voice or the song of the Harley. And what I've tried to do in all of my work, writing and with music and with Harley writing and with yoga teaching, is find the connection to this song that is sung by the motorcyclist, is sung by the motorcycle, is sung by the yoga as a discipline in and of itself, and the song that is sung by the yogi. And I call it breath. Breath is yoga's song, and everybody can sing that song. So we keep practicing, and we keep setting up these breath-centric experiences. It's what I call them. And we keep hoping for people to show up and serving. And that's really the reason for doing it, Amanda, just trying to serve.
Yeah. Amazing. You just created such like a beautiful like vision in my mind of how that's like. And it just sounds really amazing. And I love, one of the things I really love about your business and about what you do is how you've really chosen to serve, you know, an audience or a niche that you know personally. And because to me, you know, as somebody who doesn't ride motorcycles, I'm like, well, it sounds so perfect. Like, why would we turn, you know, the engines of the motorcycles on? Because that's kind of like disturbing the peace a little bit. But I think that if that's your thing, right? Like that's probably brings you to a place of almost feeling like you're on the bike, like you're, you know, exploring in that way. And so I like that you're just, you know, so in tune with this and can create these experiences for people. And one of the things that I wanted to talk about today was just, you know, talking about what you've been able to do over the last couple of years in terms of getting people into classes. And I know you said, you know, maybe they're still smaller, but at the same time, you know, you're doing two classes a week and you've been doing it for the last 5 years. So I think you're definitely making waves, even if it's a little wave. And I'd love to hear, you know, what those conversations look like when you're inviting somebody to a class or you're kind of quote unquote marketing your classes, you know, what do those look like? What are people kind of saying? All that type of stuff.
Sure. One of the things I've done is talk to groups, the HOG groups and others, where I simply tell them what it is and have them stand up in the chairs and actually do some breathing exercises right there. It's something that's very accessible to anyone. And I talk about the sound of yoga and the sound of the Harley. You know, the sound is a vibration. It's a wave. Well, this, you know, the motorcycle has a heck of a wave too. And so does yoga, the wave of the breath. And so I try to tell them that they don't have to dress specifically. They don't have to have any kind of equipment. They don't have to be flexible. And I make it a point to say, this is not the yoga you see on Instagram where people are bent in, you know, pretty impressive shapes. This is just breathing, being present, being intentional, and gathering skills so that you can be safer on the bike. And here's how I explain it to them, Amanda. And it's really probably the prime motivational tenet I use at almost every place. When I taught motorcycle riding in the state of Hawaii as a Motorcycle Safety Foundation rider coach, people were doing great on the motorcycles until they were being tested on like a figure eight course. And a figure eight is a small box in which riders enter on the top, let's say the top left side of the box. They go across, traverse across the box, come back to the other side, create a figure eight or a circle on the bottom of the box, and then come back up and create a circle on the top part of the box, come back down and exit. It's a very difficult maneuver. And what I noticed is that people held their breath and they tightened up when doing this maneuver. And it dawned on me, hey, I'm teaching motorcycle riding. I'm training to be a yoga instructor. And it's all about being at ease in the midst of stress. This is the point I try to bring home. that when we breathe and learn to be at ease in the midst of stress, you can bike longer, you could be more secure, you can concentrate better, you can have better balance. This is all important for not just a life skill, but for a life-saving skill when you're on a motorcycle. And the therapeutic I see in yoga follows this trajectory very well and ties into what I try to teach. That is, in yoga asana, and I think that's what most of us talk about in the West when we speak of yoga, we speak of the moves, the asanas. In yoga asana, we put ourselves deliberately into positions of stress. At that very moment, the primary teaching says, be at ease. That's quite profound when you think about it. Being at ease in the midst of stress is the therapeutic to health and wellness and awareness and consciousness and intentionality and everything else that we can think of. This is a lesson I try to teach them. And I say, hey, man, you know, if you want a bike when you're in your 80s, that is motorcycle, a high risk thing, something that's stressful at times, very stressful at times, you need to know how to relax in the midst of stress. And this is what yoga teaches. This is what I teach to the bikers. And I think this notion of longevity in the saddle, or keeping your, as they say in motorcycle jargon, keeping your butts on your putts. if they want to keep their butts on their putts into their 80s, it's time to start learning skills now that will help you to do that. And this is really the whole ideology of my Yoga for Motorcyclists program.
Hey friends, we're just taking a quick little break from the episode to talk about Offering Tree. Offering Tree is an all-in-one software for your business, one website and one place for everything. You can host your membership, on-demand library, class schedule, emails, blog posts, and take easy payments all in one spot. As a public benefit company, Offering Tree is helping you first, and they've tried their best to keep their costs as low as possible. They've bundled a ton of value into their Essentials plan with no hidden costs or fees. On top of that, Offering Tree is super, super easy to use, which is one of the main reasons that I love working with them and love recommending them for you, yoga teachers. The step-by-step process for setting up your site makes it easy to design something unique in just 30 minutes. Offering Tree's unlimited page builder gives you endless possibilities for business growth. Updating your site is simple and straightforward. Got a workshop or course that you only run once a year? Design a page for it and simply unpublish the page until you need it again. And when you reach out to support, you'll be able to talk to a real person. Their world-class support team is here to help. And on top of that, they're offering you a discount for listening to MBOM. So if you are interested in checking out Offering Tree, doing a free trial, or learning more, head on over to offeringtree.com/MBOM. All right, now back to the episode.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. That's really amazing. And I love that you're just, you know, speaking people's language, talking to people in a way that's going to get them feeling motivated, like the idea of, hey, you can do this thing that you love long-term if you take care of yourself now. And then also just introducing yoga in a way that is accessible. And I think that this has been such a big conversation over the last couple of years in the yoga industry is like, you know, so much of what we see in the media, in magazines, on Instagram is people, you know, folded in half or, you know, standing on their heads or their hands. And for so many of us, it just feels like, you know, I sit at a desk all day and I have back pain and there is no way that I'm going to get, you know, my body into this position. And yet, you know, sure, that is one part of yoga that can be your yoga practice, but I don't think that that's the whole of yoga. And I love what you're talking about with being able to bring in some of the yoga asana, but then to also bring in the other limbs of yoga, like, you know, the breath and, you know, other aspects where people can just start to focus their mind, tune into their breath, you know, start to just relax, feel good in their body, feel good in their mind, feel good spiritually. And I think that that's really what we need more of in the world is, you know, people tuning into like the areas in their life where, you know, they are most present with those people and looking like, could these people be breathing better? Could these people be breathing more? Could these people be moving their body in some way that would help them, you know, continue doing what they're doing? So I just love everything about this and just really appreciate you sharing all of that.
Oh yeah. Thanks. Thanks, Amanda. Yeah. The the substance of yoga, the substance of its therapeutic is really in learning to control, to manage the friction in our lives. And there is friction and stress everywhere. So how do we manage that? That becomes then a life-saving skill beyond a health skill.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think that that's something that, you know, for me has really, I guess, evolved in terms of my own practice and my own exercise over the last couple of years. And I know now for me, I really just think about longevity in terms of, you know, the things that I'm doing in terms of movement and yoga are not about taking a photo in a certain pose. They're about, you know, how can I, you know, make my life longer? How can I feel good in my body so I can do things like run and play with my daughter as she grows up and, you know, hopefully with her kids if she decides to have them down the road and, you know, that type of thing. Being able to do the activities we love, like motorcycle riding, hiking, biking, whatever it is. And I think that that's something we really need to consider when it comes to like our sales or our marketing. And I don't even know if you consider what you're doing sales and marketing. I think it is in business jargon, but it seems like it comes a little bit more naturally in terms of the conversations you're having. Do you feel that way, or how is that from your perspective?
I do. I think that my approach, Amanda, with my approach with individuals is always very specific to that conversation I'm having in the moment. And I guess when I think about the kind of leader that I've been in my career in the past, before yoga even, and even now in yoga, I consider myself more an inspirational leader rather than kind of a perspirational leader or perspirational leader. Is that the right way to say it? When you sweat, perspire?
Perspire? I think so. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, I think so. I'm not sure, but I mean, there are perspiration, however you say that word, leaders everywhere, you know, coaches and people that put you through the hoops. And I like that for myself, but that's not the kind of leader I do. I mean, I do hot yoga myself for my own discipline and for my own physicality. It's just what I like. I don't recommend it for everybody else, but I could not teach that way, or would not want to teach that way or be that way, which is, you know, kind of high energy and a little more demanding maybe. And even, commanding. I think commanding is important, but it's important for us to command our own body and not let somebody else command us. But my leadership is inspirational. I try to, in these conversations with people, connect to them in any way that I can find. And you know what? I find it immediately, whether it's the hip or the back or talking about friction in life. And then you can suddenly just quickly go to motorcycling. Oh, your back is hurt. Well, I bet that makes it tough to check the blind side, doesn't it? You know, or stress in your life. Oh yeah, you know how to handle stress. You know, we do it with a friction zone all the time. On the clutch, you let it out slowly. You don't handle friction stress by slam bam and try to fix it immediately. You handle stress and friction with a careful touch on the clutch, right? A careful touch on the clutch, and that's how I approach yoga. A careful bend into that warrior pose. Just take it easy, man. You're not here to impress anyone, and you're certainly not here to get hurt. So breathe and move slowly. That's what I really try to say. And then translate these lessons to your motorcycle, where you're going to see some stress and you're going to feel some stress and someone's going to cut you off, and you might have to make an emergency maneuver. But if you hold your breath and tighten up, it'll be harder. So I guess it's really bodily learning, putting people in the situation of stress, and then really, really, really emphasizing, be at ease now with your breath as much as you can possibly be at ease, be at ease. And if we teach that enough over time, I know from my own experience, the body does that in the midst of stress. When it's easy to tighten up, we go, oh, relax instead. Even driving a car, Amanda, sometimes I find myself, you know, gripping the wheel a little tight. And I'm like, oh God, Greg, you know, be aware now, settle down, relax, loosen your grip a little bit. I mean, I think it's important to have a grip on life, but not a stranglehold, right? And mm-hmm. So just let go a little bit, Greg. So I try to talk like something like that to people and adjust the language at all times to kind of where they're at. I mean, I have 3 graduate degrees, so I've got a lot of language I can use. And probably my problem most of the time is too much language that's not common in dialogue. So I really work at trying to bring it to a level where the words connect to people instead of create a barrier. Because it's easy for me to do that in using language. that's a growing edge that I've learned, you know, for a lot of years now. Worked on for a lot of years.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing all of that. And yeah, I think that all of that is really important and is just, you know, for anyone who's listening, I'm assuming most people probably don't work with motorcycle riders, but, you know, applying what you're talking about to their own niche, like really understanding who your people are and how you can serve them and how you can help them and having conversations with them. And I really like this sort of reframing of the idea of quote unquote sales or marketing as, you know, I'm serving people with yoga, I'm helping them feel better in their bodies, I'm helping them learn to breathe better and to have those moments. And I have them too. I mean, I'm human where, you know, I realize I'm gripping the steering wheel really tight while I'm driving, or for me, it's like a lot of jaw tension. Like I'll realize all of a sudden that I'm like clenching my jaw. And as soon as I can relax that and relax my mouth, it's like my face relaxes, my shoulders relax. It's like the tension kind of leaves my body. But the first step is awareness, right? And I think that the awareness comes from our yoga practice and coming from bringing that through and being present with it more and more. So I think that that's really great stuff. And Greg, I know one of the questions I asked you last time we were on the podcast was about business lessons you learned. And I remember I didn't re-listen to the episode, so I don't remember exactly what you said, but it was something around the lines of, you know, I just really started this and I feel like I'm still very in the learning process, but I'm curious if you can share with us, you know, it's been 5 years, like what you've learned over the last few years, you know, doing the work that you've been doing.
Yeah, it's really, I guess, a reiteration of what I thought of before growing up, kind of philosophically. And that is, you know, the language here will be a little strange to some people maybe, but I call it the incarnational principle. And that means going to where they are. I always thought about, in my previous career, when I went to visit people as a clergy in a Lutheran church, it was really important for the people I visited when I went to their work, to their jobs. That's where they felt affirmed and felt that I, as a person of some status in their eyes, who knows why, but I was, I affirmed them by observing them in their environment, working, or in the hospital, or in a home for the homebound, giving communion, or something like that. The principle, Amanda, that probably the business principle, is then what I would probably reclassify, not as the incarnational principle, which works in the field of, you know, a ministry, but a presence principle, or what I call the presence paradigm. The more present we are in the physical body, both with ourselves and with others, the better connection we can have. And then this opens up everything for relationship. It's as simple as that. I can talk forever, but when I'm with groups of people, and I'm very deliberate about this, if I'm not the leader in the group, I'm not talking much. I'm just being with them and I'm listening and I'm accompanying the group no matter where they're going. That goes for motorcycle riding or for friendship groups or for a group of people when we go to a music concert or what have you. I just want to be there and accompany them. And it comes from my understanding of this incarnational principle. People felt affirmed when I was with them as somebody with some status. But I believe that it applies even if we have no quote unquote professional status. And right now I don't. I'm retired, so I have no status. But I have a body, I have a mind, I have a presence, I have a desire to serve, to be there, to see you, to witness you, and to be witnessed by you as well. I put that on the back burner more or less, but I've written about that too when I go to yoga classes, that I get the names of people and I remember them, not because I want to contact them or anything like that. And, you know, I've written down the names over the years. I have a big list of people that I've seen in yoga classes because I want to affirm in my own way that I witnessed them and that I've seen them. Not witnessing in any kind of religious way, but just, I see you, I witness you, I affirm you, I'm present with you. And that right now is the business principle that I work with. It's all I have.
Hi, friends. We are taking a break from the podcast so I can tell you about a software that I have recently discovered that I am super stoked about. It is called Coach Pals. Coach Pals is a wellness professional network. Their advanced search engine allows you not only to find, connect, and collaborate with like-minded individuals, but will also match your professional identity to the needs of hundreds of users around the world who are looking for your services or products. Coach Pals profiles are exclusively designed for wellness professionals. Users will automatically be able to access all the important data to set their confidence. From your biography, skills, experiences, and certifications to your website, social media, podcast, contacts in your network, testimonials, skills, endorsements, and so much more. So how does it work? You go, you sign up for an account, you create a profile. On mine, you can see things like my yoga teacher trainings, my business degree, my podcast, and then I can tell you a little bit about what I offer. If you're interested in that, you can click on the links or you can connect with me and we can become a part of each other's networks. It's pretty cool. And I think it's a really awesome opportunity for us wellness professionals to get to know each other in an environment that is not social media, where we have so many inputs and so many distractions. So if you're interested in checking this out, head on over to coachpals.com. You can create a profile for free. You can get a feel for their platform. And if you like it, use MBOM Pals to get 3 months off completely free for the professional membership. Once again, that's coachpals.com and use the code MBOM Pals to get 3 months off the professional membership. I would love to see you there. All right, back to the episode.
Just like this genuine desire to get to know people and understand them and serve them.
Yes. Yeah. Better said than I could and much shorter. Yes.
I mean, it's incredible. It's incredible that you've, you know, created this business for yourself and that you're, you know, having people show up a couple times a week and participate in what you're doing and you're really helping them. And I feel like, you know, you're doing in this way that's super authentic and not super salesy and not super pushy, but just in a way that to me sounds very authentic and caring. And I think that this is maybe one of the keys to success that we're not talking about enough. It's like, you know, there's so many tools that you can have in your toolbox for business. And yet, you know, you're telling me like, hey, the thing that's helped me the most to be successful over the last 5 years has been to just be genuine and show up for people and not have any, I guess, like ulterior motive to my conversations with them other than just genuinely getting to know people. And if I can serve them, then I'll let them know how I can serve them. And if not, then, you know, I'm still going to remember their name and, you know, say hello to them and that type of thing. And I just think that this is amazing and whatnot. So thank you for sharing that.
You're welcome, Amanda. And the other thing is that, and it's not at all to throw water on people that have to have a business model to keep their, you know, the studio afloat. I don't mean that at all. In fact, the other side of it is that I'm lucky that I'm in a position, I don't have to worry about the bills. I mean, I use somebody else's space. I don't have to worry about getting paid if I'm not. I don't have to worry about some of these things that probably most other people in business really do have to concern themselves with. So I am lucky and I'm not trying to throw water on anybody else's style. Because a business is a business and it's hard. I'm lucky I've never had to do that. And so probably, Amanda, maybe for a model for somebody in a position like me, mine works. But for somebody in a business, man, I wouldn't recommend my model.
But let's talk about that a little bit though, because I hear what you're saying in terms of like, you know, hey, I'm retired. I'm not needing to like live off this income, and you know, I can create something a little bit more relaxed. And I think I do understand that there's a tension that happens when it's like, hey, you know, I got to eat, I got to pay my bills. And what I'm doing right now is teaching yoga. So there's a little more pressure on it, which I think can have a different energy and have us show up in a different way. But I also think there's something really amazing about just showing up as you and, you know, having conversations with people, finding out their name, learning a bit about them. And then, you know, if there's something you can offer them, you can mention it there. And that's, you know, this kind of more authentic way of creating a business than maybe some of the other strategies that I teach or that we talk about on the show, where it's like, hey, you need to have a website and, you know, have an email list and have a plan with everything and execute on social media X times a week. You know, that can feel so like rigid and sometimes pushy. And I think that there's sometimes a tension for yoga teachers with that because they want to show up in the way you're showing up. But I'm also hearing you say like, hey, I'm doing this and it's kind of working, you know, like you've been doing it for 5 years. You have people coming to classes and you have people coming to classes who like, if you ask them on the street, they'd be like, I am not a yogi. You know what I mean?
Right. They would not, but they love it.
Anyways, all that to say, I think you're doing some cool stuff. So I think you should give yourself credit for that.
Okay. Thank you. Yeah. The incarnational principle tends to go deep, but not very wide. Because as the incarnational principle, where that is one by one, you can only do one person at a time with that style. And it that takes a lot of time, therefore, and it probably does not translate into our today's rather fast-paced world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, we're always, I think we live in this world where it's like, you know, if our internet browser doesn't load in a couple seconds, we're like, you know, freaking out and stuff like that. And yeah, we're living in this world where, you know, we're upset if we don't get, you know, a certain amount of likes or comments on social media posts. And I think that we're really due for kind of a reframe with this in terms of maybe slowing down a little bit and coming back to this idea of like what we do with yoga is building community and building personal relationships. And I think that's really what people are seeking, especially like after 2 years of pandemic life, where we've been doing everything online, we've been disconnected from like-minded people, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's a lot to kind of, you know, take with what you're talking about in terms of how others could apply this to their own niche and their own business.
Well, thanks, Amanda. That's very kind of you. By the way, I don't know what kind of time we have, but eventually, if it's possible, I would like to read a few paragraphs from my book too, if we can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I have to wrap up in the next couple of minutes, but let's jump into, tell me a little bit about your book. And if you'd like to share some with the audience, that would be great.
Okay, sure. Yeah. I wrote this book, Yoga Song. It's been processed over the last 10 years. Many of them are articles that have been published in some other place, but I formed this idea of Yoga Song as the song of yoga is the breath. And each person in their breath sings their own yoga song. And as a musician, I try to tie together all these different experiences and brief articles into the notion of melody, motion, breath, and a song. And this is all what, to me, comes out of the inner sanctum of yoga, so to speak. And I have a little section on the breath-centric community. It's called Yoga, a Breath-Centric Community in chapter 14. I can read just a few paragraphs if you'd like for the audience.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. It was published in June on International Yoga Day by Rochak Publishing of India. Yoga, a Breath-Centric Community. A few brief paragraphs. I glance around the deck and see the outline of my community. They are becoming new on a daily basis as they take up yoga. They act on faith to get here. So I act on faith to teach, as the practice of yoga meets them with its global and spiritual energy. It takes courage to move beyond cultural stereotypes and do yoga. As a teacher, I set the route. When ready, they follow, and the road comes home to themselves breath by breath, where a universal yoga pilgrimage presses them to question their motives and boldly ask, why am I here? When the question arises, yoga song takes over, and the yogis remember their courage. They stretch into their containers of reform and travel back to the beginning once again. My breathing congregation, burdened with weight of their years and stories, is made of ordinary people doing the extraordinary. Their bodies hold sacred songs and mysteries. They are royal dancers, humble warriors, cobras, camels, lions, and stony-worn sphinxes. Stretching into the extraordinary, they become part of the mystery. Within each pose, they make a beautiful story of reaching and lifting, falling and preserving. Their motor is the rise and fall of diaphragm and full breath, and their motion is the story of life's ebb and flow. These biker yogis are my congregation. I call them a breath-centric community, and I deeply affirm their right to ask for fuller breath, richer movements, and wider reaches of spirit. Yoga song is like music. It takes form through practice and consistency, and it's the same with my community. Practice with individual integrity, they gradually turn from being a group of people into a breath-centric community, singing yoga's song of renewal. Maybe you are like me, often a doubting and thirsting man. Your days have registered on your body. Your spirit is tired. Maybe today you don't want to do what life asks you, but you hear yoga singing songs that flow like water from a clear blue mountain stream. Beside you, a thirsty man is dipping his cup into the spring. I raise a glass and drink. Would you like some?
Beautiful. So
thank you, Amanda. So in my text, I call these are lyrical narrative in 23 vignettes. And thank you for allowing me to read a few paragraphs.
Yeah, no, that was really beautiful. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And can you share where people can go to find that if they want to read more, if they want to check it out?
Yeah, absolutely. The title of the book is Yoga Song, and it's online with both Amazon and Barnes & Noble. And I also have some copies that, in case anyone is really interested in hearing from me personally, I could send to them directly. And you could find those and my contact information on my website, which is at gregoryormson.com. Gregory Ormson, ormson.com.
Amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And I just really appreciate this conversation, you taking time to chat with me again today and share what you've been up to. So thank you so much for your time and for just all the work that you're doing in the space and in this industry and for sharing with us today.
Well, you're welcome, Amanda. And same to you. Same to you, all of that, right back to you. And thank you very much. I appreciate the chance to talk to you. It's a pleasure.
All right, friends, I hope that you enjoyed that episode of the podcast with Gregory Ormson. As always, it was a real pleasure catching up with him. It's been, 5 years since we've talked. We've just been kind of following each other's journey. So it was really nice to catch up with him and hear what he's been doing. And one thing that I just really love about him is how he has these little golden nuggets and pieces of wisdom that he shares in such a simple and authentic way. So I hope that you've learned a little bit from his journey and his business that you can apply to your own. Of course, a big thank you to Offering Tree for sponsoring this episode. Make sure you go check them out, offeringtree.com/MBM. Let me know if you have any questions. And as always, thanks so much for listening to the show. All right, that's all from me. I'll see you next week. Bye for now. Thank you so much for tuning in for this episode of the podcast. To find links, notes, resources, and everything mentioned in today and all episodes of the show, you can head on over to mbomyoga.com. You can find the podcast and myself on Facebook and social media at Mastering the Business of Yoga. And I would love for you to join the private Facebook community, Yoga Business Badasses. If you have any questions, comments, or feedback, please make sure you reach out to me at info@mbomyoga.com. And last of all, if you enjoyed this episode of the show, please make sure you hit subscribe and leave a review for the podcast. It would mean the world. Thanks so much for listening, and I'll see you next week. Namaste.